You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The big yeshivas here are off this coming weekend. A lot of people will be in the various hotels for Shabbos. And the question is, what do you do when you go to a hotel and they don't have the keys, the metal keys, or they have electronic magnetic key cards, which, you know, unfortunately for us, is becoming increasingly popular, to the extent that if you went to a hotel and they didn't have it, you are probably not staying in such a nice hotel. So it's you want to do your own Shabbos and stay in a nice hotel, but you also want to keep Shabbos. So we're going to have to figure out how to do this. Now, let's just begin with the following. The issue that this is called, the technical phrase is RFID. That's a radio frequency ID. You could Wikipedia it, you could Google it to understand how it works technologically, but it's basically their little transmitters in your cars, little microchips in your cars that are read by the machines that are in the doorway, and that electronically unlocks the latch and very often also makes a little green light go on. So I don't really care about the green light, because it's no different halakhically than the fact that the electronic latch is unlocking. Either way, you're harnessing electricity. Clearly, you're harnessing electricity. What makes this interesting is that there was I don't want to call it a tshuva, because I don't think it wasn't written by a posek, but there was a rabbi, I assume he's a rabbi, a young rabbi in Eretz Yisrael. How should we say this in the most proper way? An open-minded, free-thinking person who's Orthodox, I believe, he's Orthodox, who wrote an article, I don't call it a tshuva, but an article suggesting that there's nothing wrong because you're not really doing anything electronically and you're not really causing any malachas. You see, when you use electricity, you have to sort of analyze electricity with two aspects. There's the act of using electricity per se, and then there's how you're using electricity, you're harnessing electricity to cook, to plow, to write. Right. So whenever we look at electricity, you always have to look at the two things. There might be an issue of ksiva, like when you type on a machine, on a computer, there might be a ksiva issue. When you use a tractor, there might be a choresh issue. So we're not going to talk about any malacha that's happening, because just the electronic latch unlatching might not be a malacha in and of itself. There's just the electricity harnessing of the electricity that we are concerned with. So there was this rabbi in Israel who wrote an article suggesting in one of the current Israeli periodicals that just came out, I don't know, probably within a year or two ago, suggesting that these cards are mutter lechatchila even for a Jew. It was very nice that the editor of that magazine, I think the magazine is called Emunas Itecha, in that same volume, in that same issue, also included a response from Rev Rosen. Who's Rev Rosen? Rev Rosen is the head of Tzomet. So Tzomet is the place to go for all things technological and halacha. He's the one who developed the gramophone and the grama switch and somebody in our shul uses one of those scooters on Shabbos, an elderly individual. So those were all developed. I mean, the king of this interface between electricity, technology, and halacha is Rabbi Rosen, and he wrote a rebuttal of this article, a very strong rebuttal of this article, to say the least. And obviously that is not even a left-wing liberal position. It's completely not accepted in any way, shape, or form that a Jew himself or herself would be permitted to insert the key into this electronic card key into the reader and open up the door. So let's begin with what the sugya really is, because besides asking God to do electricity for me, there's an added component, an added layer that has to be evaluated. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bedvaro. Amen. As we established in earlier shiurim, whenever you talk about asking God to do things, two things have to be taken care of. First of all, you have to get the amira lenachri to be a permitted amira. And even when it's permitted to say the words, or to get him, to hint to him, to turn to do a malacha, there's a second facet, and that is that you're allowed to derive benefit from what he did. So for example, even if you hint in some interesting way, where you're on Erev Shabbos, that he should turn on the lights for you on Shabbos, well, if the lights are off and he turned them on for you on Shabbos, even without you telling him to do it on Shabbos, you know what? Even if you never asked, you never hinted to a guy to turn on lights on Shabbos, and he goes ahead and turns on lights in a dark room on Shabbos, you're not allowed to read in that room. Not because you did Amiru Lenachri, he did it on his own volition without even the slightest insinuation on your part. But if a guy turns on lights in a dark room, you can't even get Hana. For you. You can't get Hana. Right, if he turns it on for you, you can't get Hana. If he turns it on for himself, yes, you're right. Rav Freeman, you can. So, in discussing the concept of Hana, we had a contradiction that we did once. We're going to remind ourselves in source number one. The contradiction was that in certain circumstances, you could allow a guy to put out a fire if your house is burning down. On the other hand, you can't tell a guy to turn on the lights or turn on the heat if the heat is off, unless it's very cold, or the lights are out. What's the difference between putting out a fire on one hand and turning on the lights on the other hand? So Tosis here, in source number one in Shabbos Kuvchav Beis, says the difference is whether it's a positive Hana or a negative Hana. When he puts out the fire to save your house, is he giving you something? He's not giving you anything, he's just taking away the damage that would happen to your house. When he turns on a fire, when he turns on the lights, when he turns on the heat in your house, he's giving you something positive. There's a positive Hana. That's the distinction of Tosfos that we discussed in previous weeks. Gentlemen, now is the $1 million question. What's happening when a guy opens my electronic door on Shabbos? Did he give me something, or did he remove a problem? What I mean to say is the following. Is he just removing, I have my bed in the room. I have my change of underwear in the room. I have my Shabbos afternoon kokosh cake from gourmet, from Seasons in the room. It's just there's something in my way that's blocking me to get it. He's just removing that thing that was blocking my access to this kokosh cake or change of socks. Or we could say no. He's allowing, giving you access. He's giving you something. He's letting you get your kokosh cake. Which one of these two possibilities is opening a door for you? So what I mean to say is that even if you don't ask a guy, you don't hint to a guy, the guy opens the door for you on his own volition, are you permitted to derive benefit from the stuff in your room? Because putting Amir Lenachri aside, there's a question, are you allowed to get Hana from a Maisa Malacha of a Nachri? So it depends. If it's like he's turning on a light for you, he's turning on the heat for you, he's giving you access to Kakash cake, it's Aser. If you say no, he's not giving you access to Kakash cake, he's just taking away the blockage. And the Kakash cake is there. They baked it yesterday, it's there, it's delicious. He's removing the blockage between me and the Kakash cake. Then it would be like a negative Hana, and that would be permitted to derive that benefit from going through that door. What?
Even by Nisha Drabon? The problem of Hana?
Yes, that is correct. It's problem of Hana even by Nisha Drabon, yes. Okay, so that's the question that we have to talk about. So this question of the... So right now we're not talking about Amir Lenachri issues. We're talking about, are you allowed to benefit from what he opened, even if you didn't ask him? So we have precedent, a very similar case. Look at the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Yom Tif. Tavkuf Yirches. Bayis Shumale Peros. You have a house full of fruit, but the walls are sealed up. And the wall falls down on Yontif. Says the Shulchan Aruch, guess what? You're allowed to take the fruits from that area of the wall. No tell me makam hapchas. You can take the fruits from that area. Says the Magen Avram, he says that, so the Magen Avraham first says that you might think that if they're inaccessible fruits, maybe that should make them muktzah. Muktzah because they're made to not be accessed and they're set aside not for consumption on Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham says, no, they're delicious fruits, there's nothing wrong with the fruits, it's just a wall that blocks you. And now he brings the following case, this is the Chumrah that we're going to have to deal with for the rest of the shiur. Imagine you have turnips that you want to store. How do you store vegetables in the olden days? How do you keep them if they didn't have refrigeration?
In the ground.
You bury them in the ground. Not because they're growing, not because they're rooted. You just bury them in the ground for safekeeping, if you want to keep it cold. Remember we talked last week when we talked about air conditioning? Someone in the Svarim said you should just go to the basement because it's colder downstairs. So you take some turnips, and the turnips buried in the ground. You ask a guy to do what? To get the turnip for you. So what is he doing? He has to just remove the dirt that's blocking the turnips so you could access your turnips. That sounds very similar to asking a guy to do a malacha so you could access your kakash cake or your change of socks. So let's see what the Magen Avraham says. In the middle of source number 3. Well, if you mash a kasa ba shulchan aruch, that you're allowed to eat the fruits in the house if the wall falls down. Yesh lilmod, de mi sheyishlo lifatos, lifasos, lefes is turnip. Tmunim bibar, it's hidden and buried in a pit. Upaschan akum b'shabes obiyantiv, and a guy opens up the, you know, removes that dirt so you can have your turnips. Ein bahem yishe mukta. That's not, they're not mukta, because the turnips are turnips. They're just behind the wall of dirt. Umikom akum, im ha'akum, im asa ha'akum litzorach Yisrael. If he did it for you, that means you're benefiting an act that he did for you. Aser. Paskins the Magen Avraham, that if he removes the blockage that distances you from your turnips, right, it's a malacha to get rid of that dirt, it's digging. So he did that malacha of digging to get you access to your turnips, you're not allowed to enjoy your turnips. Did you ask him? No. Did you hint him? No. He did it on his own volition. He knows you like turnips. What do you see? It's asur b'hanah. So if we apply this logic to a hotel room, the question of tonight does not have to be, are you allowed to tell a guy or not allowed to tell a guy? The question is, even if a guy does it on his own volition without any discussion, perhaps you're not allowed to eat that kakush cake. You're not allowed to put on those socks. You're not allowed to lie in that bed. Because you could only access it through his malacha, and that, in other words, Magen Avraham says that removing the blockage, the dirt between you and the turnips, is giving you a hana. It's considered, the Magen Avraham here is considering it apparently a positive hana. Positive hana, like somebody giving you a turning lights on for you, giving you heat. And therefore, Magen Avraham says you would not be able to use this turnips, and presumably the Magen Avraham would hold that even if you didn't ask the guy to open the doors for you, it should still be aser to be nana from what's inside the room because he's removing the blockage. That seems to be the opinion of this Magen Avraham. Let's go to a different case that's going to be similar in terms of the paradigm of something between you and what you want to get to. And the malacha has to be done to enable you to get access that thing. Let's say there's a piece of mail. Now you have let's say your son just took the SATs. And he wants to know if he's going to get into college, if he's going to get a scholarship, if she's getting into BJJ, if he's getting into Panovich, whatever it is, the acceptance letter. And you know, the housekeeper knows that your whole family has been waiting with bated breath to see if he's going to get into Panovich or BJJ. So a letter comes with some Hebrew letters on the top left corner, and she already knows what a BJJ or Panovich, stationery looks like. And she takes the letter that comes in the mail Shabbos morning, and she rips the top open. So now, let's assume there's no Isser of Muktzah, it's from in the Tchum, without getting into the mail Shilas. So, wait a second. Are you allowed to derive Hana? Are you allowed to read that letter? Let's think. What was between you and that letter opening up an envelope? Opening up an envelope is Kareya, it's an Isser, probably Daraisa. So opening up an envelope is definitely Asur. But you didn't ask her to do it. What did the housekeeper do by opening the letter? She just took away that which was between you and accessing the letter. The letter's not mukta, let's assume. And you're not doing a malacha by reading it. She's just letting you access something that's already there. Is ripping open the letter any different than digging out that dirt to access the turnips? Presumably the same thing.
What if the letter is kilkul? No, it's not kilkul. Opening up the letter is
mukta. The envelope, you mean? You say that there's nothing so bad. Okay, so biyasa drabanan. If you rip it. I say you're saying that there are certain times you're allowed to open up wrappers. Envelopes might not be wrappers. If something's a wrapper of a food, you're right. You're allowed to open up wrappers on foods. I don't think a letter would be considered. Same as a wrapper. An envelope, same as a wrapper. Well, look what the Tiferes Yisrael says about this case. In source number 4, it says the Tiferes Yisrael, you're allowed to tell a guy not directly, shalom b'derech tzivui, what you're lacking, right? Like you're allowed to tell a guy, oh, it's dark in here. Oh, I'm cold, right? You're not telling him, turn on the lights. You're not telling him, turn on the heat. You're saying, oh, I'm cold in here, oh, it's dark in here. Of course, with the parameters that we spoke about in previous weeks, that there are some lights there already, the heat's on already, you're just asking him to turn it hot. You're just saying, it's cold, I need it higher. You're not saying I need it higher, you're just saying it's cold. It's only 65 degrees, and I usually like it at 71. So that's permitted if you do it in an indirect remez, just telling a story. So for example, what could you say in the source number 4, after the 3 dots? Eini yachal likras ha'yigeres ha'chosam. I can't read this sealed letter. Even though afshe yavnim yitoch dvar of lishbor ha'chosam ul'pasro, even though he understands from your hint to break the seal and to open it up. Is that permitted or not? Nearly. Tahasam over there where he's talking about it, that's Asr Tigbi Nana because he turned on lights. There you're getting enough from the lights that you're turning on. Nana miguf hadlaka hasura. You're getting benefit from the switching on the lights. Masha Enkin Hacha, but here where he opened up a letter for you, if you just said, I can't read the letter because it's sealed. Eno Nana mi kriyas haniyar atzmo. You're not getting enough from his ripping of the envelope. You're not using the envelope. You're just, the ripping of the envelope is just what allows you to read what was inside of the envelope. Rak midavash is toviv mimeno. Dahi kriyas haksav. He did a maisav kriya on the envelope. The result of that is now you could access the letter inside of it, but you didn't get enough from the ripping. As opposed to his turning on the light, you got enough from the light. You got enough from the warmth. As opposed to if he rips the envelope, you didn't get enough from the ripping of the envelope. That just enables you to get subsequent enough from the letter. It's a step removed. Says the Kalkelos HaShabbat, the Tiferes Yisrael, that's mutter. So now what we seem to have is two identical cases. Not that the cases are the same, but theoretically, the conceptual framework of the cases are the same. There's something blocking you to get access. They do a malacha. You don't get direct hanah from their malacha, but it enables you to get hanah from something after that malacha, either the turnips or the letter. The Kalkelos HaShabbat, the Tiferes Yisrael, says you can enjoy that letter. And Magen Avraham says you're not allowed to eat that turnip. So let's now apply it to a hotel door. According to Magen Avraham, again, even if you didn't ask a guy to open the door, he opened it on his own. Well, it's like the turnip behind the dirt. If a malacha had to be done to get to access the turnips, it's also to enjoy the turnips. You can't eat your kakash cake. According to this new opinion in source number 4, the Tiferes Yisrael, you should be able to. It would be mutter to enjoy your kakash cake. Because he's just removing, he's just getting rid of, he's just opening the door, and then you're getting hana not from the door opening, but from the kakash cake. So it seems to be machlokas, a very, right, it's an indirect benefit that you're getting. So now.
Why isn't it luksa? You know, since it was out of your mind, since you didn't think there would be anybody around.
That's a good question. I don't want to deal with that. That's just going to complicate things. A different saga. But it is a good question. You know where else this is discussed? This is discussed, maybe in this neighborhood, it's not really nogeh because there's an Erev, and Baruch Hashem, it's a very good, a wonderful Erev, and people could carry the key. Also, we have a combination lock on the door of this shul. So, even if the Erev is down, we can still get it with a combination lock. But where I grew up in Brooklyn, so then most people in my, you know, many people in my shul didn't hold from the Erev, and many people in Brooklyn don't hold from the Erevs in Brooklyn, and the shul needed a key. So it was a complicated case. How do you open the shul on Shabbos? Before they had these old combination locks, how do you open the shul on Shabbos? If it's locked, then there's no Erev. So, if a guy could do it, okay. What would happen? Let's say the president of the shul, again, we don't know from such shuls, let's say the president of the shul happens to be a non-religious guy, or a religious guy who carries on Shabbos without an Erev. However you want to package it, and his job is to make sure the shul's open. He's a wonderful, committed, Jew and shul goer and shul leader, and his job is make sure the people come to daven. Doesn't matter what he has to do. No one notices if he adjusts the heat a little bit. Nobody notices if he turns on the lights and nobody's looking. Okay, let's say that's what it is. And he comes without the Erev and he opens the door. Are you allowed to walk into shul this morning? Forget the lights, he didn't do any lights. He didn't touch the lights, he didn't touch the heat, it's all on a clock. Are you allowed, he carried through Shus HaRabim, let's assume the Rais and the Rabbanan, he carried, where there's no Erev, to open the door, a Jew. Are you allowed to walk into the shul. You're allowed to sit down on the bench, or you're allowed to daven, you're allowed to take out a sitter, you're allowed to get an aliyah.
Get in didn't require a malacha.
That is correct. But you could not get in without a malacha having been violated. For him or for me?
Unless he's wearing a
you're right. You're from. So you say you have it as a tie clip. You have it on a belt loop. Okay, there are solutions.
But he didn't do that.
Exactly.
He carried it.
L'mahajin in his pocket, which is carrying me daraisa without an error.
He forgot.
He conveniently forgets every Shabbos morning, and then he conveniently remembers right when he has to open the front door. Okay. So this is a shaila. Correct. You're arguing that this is more kal because it's not opening the door wasn't a malacha, and I'm still responding to you that you're right. Even though the opening the door was not a malacha, I'm still nana. But if he wouldn't have carried this key on Shabbos, we would not have the door open. So you're right. It is a step removed. But here we're talking about what if a Jew did it? Could he get or not? Right. Before we weren't ever going to allow a Jew to dig to get turnips. We weren't going to allow a Jew to rip an envelope, Chas v'Shalom. We weren't going to allow a Jew to, you know, use electricity on Shabbos. Okay.
Is the same Shabbos electricity in Shabbos?
The use of electricity, to turn on a light, you know, that's if it's usher, it's usher, even without getting into the people in the Jews in the electric plants. You're not allowed to use electricity, period.
There's a blackout in Eretz
Yisrael. Yeah, let's not talk about that. That's a big thing. Let's not talk about that. But it's a good question, but we just too far afield. What?
Is it the same question?
Not necessarily. I don't know. Complicated. I don't know. I have to think about it. Let's read a story. There was once a person named Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna, and he lost his keys. The keys to the base medrash. Where did he lose his keys? In the Shus HaRabim. So what do? This Rebbe Rav has the keys, he loses it in Rosh Hashanah. I guess he had it on his tie clip, Mr. Felder. He probably had it on his tie clip, and he tried to adjust his tie as he's walking to shul, and it falls off, someone Rosh Hashanah, so he's in a bind. So what does he do? So this is Gemara's question. Gemara Nivam Staf Kufir Gimel. Rav Yisrael Bar Bisna Irkusulei, he lost Maftechei de Bei Midrasha, the Mafteach of the Beis Medrash. Where? Rosh Hashanah, when? B'Shabbatah, on Shabbos. So he went to Rav Pada, and Rav Pada suggested the following. Go get some little kids. Ulatailu hasim, and let them take a tiyul. Tiyul means let them hang out, let them play. Look at Rashi, latailu hasim yischaku sham. Shabbos haisa. Let them play there. Let some kids say, guys, we're having a game of hide and seek in the middle of the Rosh Hashanah. Okay, they didn't have cars, they didn't have to worry about kids being hit by cars. Fine. Weiter. That if they would find it's a gezunt, they'll bring it to you, or they'll bring it to the shul, wherever it is. Now this Gemara is talking about a side point. We hold katan ochal nevelis ein beis mitzvah lafrisha. If a katan who's not your son is doing malach, you don't have to stop him. That's not our sugya for tonight. What do you see from that? You see a scenario where let's finish the story. Okay, let's say the kids played hide and seek, and they hide and they seeked and they sought. And they found the key. What are they going to do with the key? They'll bring it, they'll open the base medrash. What are we going to do now that the doors of the base medrash are open? They're going to daven or not?
Yeah.
Of course, that's the whole point of the Gemara. The whole point of the Gemara is that let them open up the base medrash and use it. So doesn't this Gemara sound like...
There's no Israel of your lieutenant.
This Gemara sounds like you're getting Hana from, at least in this case, the Tinuk. You're saying that might not be a problem. You're getting hana from the Tinok's violation of Chil Shabbos, carrying without an Erev, you're getting hana from this open the base medrash. Hold on. Tosis is going to say something that will bring it back to our show. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, he's talking about the case of the president of the shul who opens up the door as I described to you. Look at the Shaila source number 6. Yisrael Shehevi Maftech Bemezid. Right? He calls himself the president of the shul. We call him a Mechal Shabbos Bemezid. Derech Rosh Hashanah, who posat losas beis haknesses, and the question is, imutar likanes? Are you allowed to enter the shul in the very first place at all? So he says the Let's go to page number 2, please. The third line. One second. There, the question was, could the Ketanim do it? There, Tosus says, the reason why they did it was because it was not Al Das Yisrael. I assume that means they were never asked. There was no adult who wanted them to do it. Tosus says, the reason why it's Mutter there is because it was not Al Das Yisrael. It was not an adult Yisrael who asked them to do it, who wanted them to do it. They did it on their own. Tosus means that if it was Al Das Yisrael, if it was done willingly, then it would be not usher to open up the base medrash. Third line on page 2. Masik ha-ri, the re in the Tosus over there, sha'asr, that it's usher to use the shul. Achosam, over there in that case with the kids playing hide and go seek in the courtyard, shayamut, in their rishus ram, shayamut, umishum shalos al das Yisrael. That's the only reason why it was mutter when they were playing, because it's not al das Yisrael. That's what Tosus seems to say. Cain. What is he saying? He's saying that if the Jew willingly opened the front door, you are not allowed to walk into that front door. So what's the solution? So davening is canceled today. It's an Orthodox synagogue. Just because the president happens to, you know, carry on Shabbos, so none of us could go to shul today, the eitz is going to be to lock the door, get a guy to open it up for us, and then go inside. Aval, v'nitztarich lomar, al yedei, look at the bottom lines of source number 6, the last underlined lines of the first source of the page. Ach al yedei nachri mutter, mishad mitzashu l'tzorach mitzvah shenogu l'hatir. We're matir goyim to do things l'tzorach mitzvah. That's a different discussion. L'chein yafa asa, whoever the rabbi was asking the shayla, kvot haraso, sha'asa likanes, he didn't let anyone go into the shul, rak acharei sheyizkuru od hapam, which does wash, and it's talik ma'isarishon, v'az yiftach nachri. And then the guy will open the door, I don't know, with the key that the president had brought, or with the guy who has his own key, I'm not sure. But either way, if a Jew would have opened the door, you would not be able to go inside.
This is all the Torah Hasibur, by the way.
For Goyim, right. But for Jew, not. That's exactly what he just said. That is correct. That's exactly what he just said. Yeah, Lutzarach Mitzvah, that's what he meant. Yeah.
No, Lutzarach Mitzvah.
That's what he means. Now, that was Ramosha's Chumrah. What is Ramosha thinking?
But this Igra Dimit seems it's only says Lachin Yopa, and he doesn't mean it's required.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
No, Yafa Asak Torah, he's just responding because that's what the Shoel said. This is what I did. Did I do the right thing? I told the president, you know, I got myself, the rabbi was saying that I made them lock the door and let a guy open it. So the Ramosha is responding, Yafa Asa, you did right. You did properly. You did the right thing. Okay. Now, let's just analyze what Ramosha Feinstein is saying. I have a very, very targeted, specified question. You're not allowed to go in because going would be a violation of what? That guy, the president, carried on Shabbos. And he opened the door. Terrible. What does that have to do with me? Me going in is a violation of what halacha? Being nana for Ma'aseh Shabbos. Gentlemen, isn't this the answer to our question? What hana is it? What's the hana? He just got rid of that door that was between me and my makom in the front left corner of the shul and my sitter that I love.
I'm not so sure that if he put out the fire, it would be the same issue.
Hold on. What's Ramosha saying? Ramosha is saying that this hana of being able to enter someplace that was fully usable inside, no malacha involved inside, no malacha getting inside, it's just that there was a blockage, and to remove that blockage, a malacha had to be violated. That's called a hana me ma'aseh Shabbos. So if you would ask this Ramosha Feinstein, hey, what do you say about using the kokosh cake if a guy opened the door on Shabbos. What would he say? Guy opening a door on Shabbos, the door is blocking you, the only way to open the door is to do a malacha. That's getting hana from Maisa Shabbos. Presumably, this Rav Moshe Feinstein would also say that you can't eat the kokosh cake, just like you can't walk into the shul when a malacha was done, so too maybe you can't eat the kokosh cake when a malacha was done. That's what this Rav Moshe Feinstein seems to be saying. Quite a chumra, isn't it? If you think about it conceptually, you mean, okay, a guy did an isser, let's not go into shul. He's saying, what does my going to shul have to do with he doing an isser? He did an isser. Okay, do skila to him. Do whatever you want. I just want to go into shul. What malacha am I doing? I'm not doing any malacha. I just remove. He just removed the door. Just got rid of the door.
There's a shul shabbos with parhesia and it's a base knesset, so it's more of a...
You're getting emotional on us. Don't get emotional. Just look, it's a maisa. I hear what you're saying, but we're talking even without the chil Hashem component, without the maris ayin. We're just talking about the straight legalistic hana. Or does this constitute hana? Or does it not constitute hana? Meaning, are we going to have to cancel davening today or not? Will you cancel davening in a shul that has 350 people coming? So, but tell me what the halacha is. Don't know emotions. Halacha is it's hana from Maisa Shabbos. It's aser. I can't walk in. That's what Moshe seems to say.
Are the different parameters when it comes to like, for instance, mutar halachos that a guy does for you on Shabbos? If a Jew did them, you wouldn't be allowed to be nah and nah from it. So if you
sometimes.
Like, if a guy did a halacha to remove. And it was just complete removal of a barrier between a Jew and something that's not the hana, like it's negative hana, however you want to call it. If a Jew did that, would that be aser?
Well, that the word, yeah, hana? Yeah. Maisa Shabbos of a goy and Maisa Shabbos of a Jew are both hana, are both aser. How aser are they? Kedesh Yasel Olam. That's a different question. They're both. If it's a hana, if malacha.
When you're not gaining hana, but you're simply a barrier.
We were asking. We didn't know the answer to that. And now we see Moshe's answer. Moshe here seems to be saying that removing a barrier seems to, yes, constitute a hana. Comes Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rabosai, in the footnotes of Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. Let's look at the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa in source number 7. It's the funny kind of print that I had to cut and paste instead, that I had to, you know, give you the original text. Im Hotzi Mafteach, you took out a key. This is source number 7, in the middle of page 2. Hotzi mafteach u'pasach badelas. You carry it on Shabbos and you open the door. Says Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, based on his Rebbe Rav Shlomo Zalman, mutar b'chol ofen, in every matter and respect, l'hikanis l'bayis sheniftach, to enter that house. Direct, diametrically opposed to Hagon Hagolder Moshe Feinstein. The tshuva that we just said. Correct, even if it's not tzorech mitzvah. And if you look at the notes, Rav Shlomo Zalman explains himself. He says, let's say, I have a question for you. Let's say a guy, you know, there's a door that's locked, and he used some piece of muktzah to get himself into the door. So just because muktzah was used to get into the door, to open the door, that's going to make you not able to use whatever's inside the house? Says Rav Moshe, I'm sorry, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, he says it in the second underlined line very clearly. Minalei, shim avar v'hishtamesh, if you used, violated, b'mayda osir mishamaisa Shabbos, shigam ze osir b'dieved dovar acher. What did you do the malacha on? The door? I'm sorry, the carrying the key? Why should carrying the key, b'isir, make what's inside become osir b'hana? If he did a malacha with a key, or even with a door, why should that put on us an iser for what's inside of that door? You want to say he carried a key on Shabbos? You know what I'll tell you? You can't get hana from the key. You carry a key on Shabbos, you're not allowed to get hana from a key. But why should the guy did a malach with a key, why should that cause that I therefore not allowed to get hana from something from Z? If I did malach with X, why does that mean I can't get hana from Z? They're two different things. Don't get hana from the key. But if somebody already opened the door, why can't I get hana from the siddurim in the shul, the bench in the shul, the kiddush in the shul, a kokosh cake in my room. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman. So we have a machlokas, Rav Moshe Feinstein, and the Igros Moshe Rav Moshe Feinstein, and Rav Shlomo Zalman. If somebody carried a key, are you allowed to walk in the house or not? Rav Moshe says you can't walk in the house. Rav Shlomo Zalman says you're allowed to walk in the house. That's the machlokas of Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Igros Moshe. Let's now move to just analyzing what they should each hold in the case of the... So we have, in terms of opening the key, opening a room in the hotel, it would sound like Rav Moshe Feinstein considers using the stuff inside the room as aser, as that's a hana from a maisa iser. And Shlomo Zalman sounds like he holds that it would be mutter. That's what we're coming out with in the case of the room that the guy opens the door. That's what the this is a conversation that is outlined in the Sefer Orchas Shabbos, which I cut out for you on page 3. Let us present numerous solutions. Let's go to page 3, number 10. So if we have a problem to have the guy open the door, what we just said, let me just sum up what we just said for what we the main point that we just made is, even if we're not going to get into the issue of Amir Lenachri, could you tell a guy to open a door or not, an electric door, there's a separate issue that even if he opens the door on his own volition, without anyone asking him, somebody told me, as they knew I was preparing the shiur, they told me they went to a wedding, a bar mitzvah, beautiful bar mitzvah, in a beautiful hotel. Beautiful hotel. Of course, if you want to make a beautiful bar mitzvah in a beautiful hotel, that hotel probably doesn't have keys. Because if it was a beautiful hotel, it's not going to have keys. It has electronic cards. But don't worry, they had 5 non-Jews sitting there 25 hours straight, who did nothing other than sit there, and when somebody would come into the room and say, would you like me to open your room for you? Which, by the way, if you say yes, that might even be, forget about being nana from what's inside, that might be Amir Lenachri, because you're saying yes, meaning, finish your sentence. Yes, open my room for me. That's not even a remez, that's a direct Amira. That's direct Amira. So they had five guys working in this hotel, I don't know if it was on one floor, five floors, either way, just waiting for people to come and open the door for them. What we're trying to say right now is that even if you're not asking God to do it for you, he's sitting there waiting, you might not be able to be nana from his maisa. After he does the malacha to open the door, the malacha of unlocking the electric lock, then there's still a question if you could eat your kokosh cake. It might not help to have a guy do it, even if you don't ask him. That's where we're holding right now.
But somebody else told him to do it also.
That's not my problem. His manager told him to do it. That's not my problem. It's not a meal enough.
Let's say I have a friend of the Jew tells him.
Okay, hold on. We'll hold that. We'll hold that. So you're going to see in source number 10, three solutions to going to hotels, right? You're going to a hotel next week, Mr. Holkauer? Yeah, kids are off? No, okay, fine. Okay. Right, going to the Shreya, that's even better. That's the best hotel. Okay.
This lock you cannot open now.
Okay. Right, because the Shreya brings free babysitting also, so it's even better. The hotels, you have to pay for it. Okay, so let's see. Three solutions. Says the Orchaz Shabbos says something very simple. What's the issue? The issue is that you can't get hana from a malacha that a nachri does for you. So what can we do? We mentioned this idea in last week. If you have the lights are off, right? You're not allowed to have a guy open lights for you. If the lights are off, you can't have him open the lights for you. Even if he opens the light on his own, you can't enjoy the lights. What's the solution?
He should make it for his own.
He could engineer a situation that he's going to turn on the lights for himself. And then you could be the beneficiary, the bystander, who just happens to benefit from him turning on the lights for himself. So for example, you could say, you know, Tony, you know I like you. I met you like an hour ago. I have a chocolate for you in the room. Tony, you want a beer? I have a beer for you. There's a beer for you in the fridge. That's a great idea. Stock your fridge with a 6-pack of beer before Shabbos. And whenever you pass a guy and you want to get to your room, you say, Tony, Julia, Maria, you know, there's a beer for you in the fridge. He goes in, what is he going to do? He's going to have to open the door to get his beer.
Right.
Who did he do it for?
Himself.
Himself. And you're, of course, allowed to be Nana because he did it for himself. Easy solution.
That's payment.
What?
Is that payment?
That's not payment. That's giving him a gift of giving him a gift of a beer. And what are you paying him for? To get his beer? No, lo techani is when you don't have anything to gain. Here you have so much to gain. In fact, the only reason why you're doing it is because you want him to get the beer so he could go to the room. So if you think of it, it's not an expensive, if you want to stay at a really nice hotel, so for $10, if you're spending $250, $400, whatever it is a night to stay in this hotel, so for an extra, you know, $8, you actually could do it beheter. You just have to make sure that whenever you want to go into the hotel, there's a guy who wants beer or whatever. You could have like a woman's drink or you have to figure it out. You don't know who's going to be on duty.
Card?
What?
What about carrying the card?
That card is muktzah, I think. It's a klishon laftalisa. So you have to leave it at the desk and tell the concierge this. You can tell the concierge, you know, there's a beer for either you or one of your buddies in my room. Fine. That's eight to number one. Eight to number three. Let's get to in ten. Source number 10. Look at Gimel. This is not so practical unless you're really, really, really frum or really traveling yeshivish. You could just take a piece of tape and tape over the latch.
Yeah.
The only problem is your door is unlocked the whole Shabbos. Yeah.
No,
so if you have anything of value,
the problem was the cleaning lady comes and take it off.
Oh, that's right.
Happened to us every week.
Right, so then you have to figure out. Leave the do not disturb yeah. on, and then.
Well, also, I don't know what to do because although you rent the room, you rent it with involved with safety regulations of the. If someone came and stole their television.
Oh. I don't know. You're right. If there's a dinei mamonos component, someone would steal their television. It's on your shoulders. That's a good point. Okay, I don't know the answer to that.
In the end, can't you always just say that you're the makom tsar and you have a shvus to shvus?
We're gonna discuss that in just a few lines. We're gonna discuss that in a few lines. The third solution. Look at Bayes. I skipped it, but. Based on, you remember what we just said? We just said there was a big machlokas if you're allowed to be nehene. Rav Moshe says no. The Magen Avraham says don't eat them turnips. But we saw that the other opinion said that, hey, if they're just removing the barrier between you and the thing that you want to access, like the envelope, they're removing the envelope so you could access the letter, or they're removing the, you know, Shlomo Zalman says, you know, getting the door open so you could get to your, you know, the stuff inside the house, there's nothing else about the stuff inside your house. According to that opinion, there are those who say that you are allowed to be nana from what's inside. So you may not be allowed to do an amira l'nachri, open my door, but you might be able to do a remez. Because according to this opinion, there's no amira l'nachri because you're doing it beremez. You know what? Tony, you know it's Saturday, and you know as Jews, we don't use electricity, and them doorknobs are electric over here, and I just wish I could take a nap, but I can't get into my room. Oh, so you want me to open the door? Don't say yes, but say, I guess you hear my problem. You know, you can't, if you say yes, that's you saying, yes, open my door. So say you understand my problem. And then, would you like to, should we walk upstairs or something?
You have to say thank you at the end?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you'd better say thank you. Yeah.
Get it again.
Yeah, you can say thank you.
No, I'm just saying because if...
No, it's a good question, but you are allowed to say thank you. You are allowed to say thank you. I didn't see anywhere that you can say thank you. So, according to those who are matir, we are presenting a machloka. So according to the stud, those who are mekel, there is rum lahakel. And remember, keep in mind, what's the issue that we're dealing with here? Big machlokas in what sugya? Machlokas is in the sugya of getting hana from the maisa of a guy. Is that an issa daraisa or an issa drabanan? It's an issa drabanan. The issa of getting hana from malacha that was done on Shabbos is that worse than issa drabanan? So there's a machlokes on something that's issa drabanan. It's not so terrible to be mekel. I'm not saying we paskin lahakel. I'm just saying if somebody wants to rely on this, we're not talking about an issa daraisa at hand. Machlokes, you have, okay, Rav Moshe's asters, but Rav Yoshua is mekel, Rav Shlomo Zalman's mekel, we still call Kalsa Shabbos as Mecca, so there's what to talk about. Just the very without any games, you could hint to a guy You're not saying get a beer for himself. You're not taping the door. You're going to hint to a guy to open the door for you. And we're going to assume that getting hana from what's inside, we could assume like some poskim who say it's mutter. Fine. Now, we could head towards the finish line. We have one more point to make before we sort of deal with a larger picture.
I had a different solution. What I do is when I go into there, I put it right when I go in, I tell them to type in that I need to have service. Thereby, I reach everything before Shabbos, and they know that they have to do it. It's part of their responsibility.
Great. So look at what source number 11, which is typed out for you. You're doing what Abel Yashiv says. Doctor, you're mamish doing exactly what's in source number 11. Look at source number 11. Yitzchak Zilberstein in his Sefer Malachim Amunayach, which is a Sefer on Amir al-Nachri, a whole Sefer from Yisrael Yashiv's son-in-law on Amir al-Nachri. He quotes his father, Lord Abel Yashiv, who says that you should tell the manager when you check in that you can only rent the room if the room is accessible over Shabbos. Now, if the manager agrees to provide some other arrangement, like changing the locks on his front door, probably won't do that, especially in the next, 20 minutes, or some other option that he suggests, which is providing a staff member to unlock the door, the manager is doing so for his own benefit, and not for the benefit of the Jew. I mean, you're saying, I'm here, I want the room, I could only stay, the room that you give me, it has to be a room that doesn't have a key, that has a key or has accessibility on Sabbath. Non-electricity, I can't use electricity. Okay, sir, Dr. Fox, I guess we'll have to get you someone to open the door. That's your choice, Mr. Concierge. Right, not my choice. So who's doing the malacha? The Tony's doing it for his own benefit. Ah, that's a beautiful, that's exactly your mechaven Baruch Hashem to Ribble Yashar.
Isn't he doing it for both benefits, himself and you?
Aser. If a guy does malacha for both Yisrael and a guy, it's aser for the Yisrael to benefit from it. It's mefurish in the Shulchan
Aruch. His intention is that. I'm doing this because I'm hired to the job. I'm doing
this. I hear you saying, no, here it's in a step, it's a different step. But okay, you're raising a good point. Look at what the Mirchis is. Dayan Weiss has a more fundamental solution, but it's going to be carry with it a challenge. Gentlemen, you want to make a beautiful bar mitzvah, right? Your kid is 13 years old, he learned the whole parash, he deserves a beautiful bar mitzvah. So it has to be in the fanciest hotel, right? Hey, you can't make a bar mitzvah in a dinky Jewish hotel, it has to be the fanciest hotel. So what are you going to do? You'll hire Goyim. Is that like, to set this whole situation up, l'chatchila, to choose to make your bar mitzvah in that hotel, is that going to be okay? Let's hold on and we'll see that in a minute. But let's finish off this section, and then we just have to make one side point to finish the shir with the Minchas Yitzchak. Dayan Weiss, who we quoted last week in the context of Dayan Weiss was makel to allow me to tell a guy to turn on the air conditioning on Shabbos because it's what malacha are you doing by turning on the heat? Havara, malacha daraisa. What malacha do you violate when turning on an air conditioner? Only electricity. Electricity, Dayan Weiss told us last week, he considers only to be drabanan. So, if you're asking a guy, shvus, drabanan, to turn on electricity, another shvus, another drabanan, and he told us last week, because you're very cold, because you're very hot, so you need the air conditioning on, he told us last week, it's a shvus to shvus b'makom, sar, which is permitted to do amir l'nachri, and to benefit from them. That logic is going to be a similar logic that he'll apply right here to exactly our shayla. Ha'im, source number 12, mutter his achsein, to be an achsani, right, to be a guest, b'malon, when there are no other malonot available, parentheses, that's an important parentheses, nowhere else available, where the doors are open, aide kartis elektroni, such that the guy is going to open the door for you when the Jew comes in. And can I arrange this before Shabbos? Says the bottom paragraph of the Minchas Yitzchak. Nira, it seems, l'damosa, to compare l'inyan, something else that we talked about last week in the other volume of Minchas Yitzchak, where I was mekel in the second to last line, l'hadlik es ha-me'orer, me'avrer, fan, but really means air conditioner, v'shabes, v'tzidadati l'hatir, I was mekel, v'makom tzar gadol b'chom hayom. If it's a hot summer day, I was mekel to let a guy do it. Why? Mitav d'havi shvus t'shvus. So to hear, yesh lahat is shvus to shvus, b'makom tzar. And therefore, if you can't get into a hotel, look in this paragraph, because here he's a little bit, he limits it a little bit. If there is no other hotel where you could go to, Or you're pulling into the hotel before Shabbos and there's no, you don't know, you're pulling into, you're driving on the freeway on the turnpike, you get to this late and you have to pull into a hotel, you don't have time to look around, where could I go, where could I go? And it's Samach L'Shkia, there's nowhere to look around. So then, in such a case, it would be a terrible tsar if you wouldn't be able to be in a hotel. And therefore, it would be permitted b'makom tsar, again, if it's a b'makom tsar, he's not saying that you should go to this hotel l'chatchila, he's saying if you have no choice, then you could rely on a shvus, the shvus b'makom tsar. But again, to qualify it as a b'makom tsar, it has to be, you can't put yourself like, I want to, you can't throw yourself into a b'makom tsar. It's that you're forced by the situation. You're in a business and your business needs you to be in this location for the weekend. Okay, so you have to be here and it's a shvus to shvus. But you should try to minimize your speaking and that's try to get him to do it on his own without trying to let him, you know, encourage him to do it. Let's finish off with a fundamental question. We just came out with a big kula. The Minchas Yitzchak is Mekel. If you need to, but Malcolm Sar, if you need it, if it's necessary, if this is where your in-law is taking you somewhere, or your boss is taking you somewhere, and you're in that hotel, and you have no choice, okay, you're allowed to tell the guy to open the door for you, ideally without speaking, ideally with a remez, as little as you can, let him, you know, figure out how to, you know, to open the door for you without you articulating anything as much as you can. But wait a second. Is this so b'di'eved? Shvus to shvus malkum tsar. Could I set this up? Could I make my bar mitzvah here? Or is it only if the bar mitzvah, somebody else made the bar mitzvah there, I'm allowed to, you know, use it. Should I go to this Pesach program? That hired, do you know how much the Pesach program makes? They could afford to spend a few extra dollars hiring a guy to stand on each floor for 24 hours a day for, you know, 2 first days and 2 last days. You know, it's very well worth their while. Should you go to that Pesach program? Let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam is by Hilchas Mila. Now we know that Mila is Docha Shabbos. We're going to finish with this point. We know that Mila is Docha Shabbos. So that means that I could I therefore set up a situation, to have a guy carry the baby to shul? Or have a guy, so do it at home, okay. Could I have a guy carry the knife to the baby? Look at the Lashon of the Rambam, beautiful diak of the Lashon of the Rambam. This is the Ksav Sofer, the V'chasim Sofer's son makes the diak. Shachecho, if you forgot the knife, v'lo have you sakin me'er of Shabbos, then you could tell, la'akam la'havi sakin b'Shabbos. Whatever the rest of the details are. What word did I underline? Shachecho, you forgot to bring the knife, then you're allowed to ask a guy to do it. I ask you, gentlemen, is this in the mitzvah d'araisa? Yes. Bizman, yes. What's the shvus? Amir l'Nachri, and another shvus, whatever, he's talking about a karmelis. Shvus to shvus makamis, and he says, when should I rely on that? Only if you forgot before Shabbos. Shachecho. Says the Ksav Sofer, the Chasam Sofer's son, the heter that we have, even when you have a heter to tell a guy to do something on Shabbos, shvus to shvus makam mitzvah, shvus to shvus makam tsar, which we'll talk about in coming weeks, that's only when? Shachecho. When you can't, there's no, you're stuck in a situation, yeah, on, you can't set this up before Shabbos. Planned. You can't plan it's this and say, let's make ourselves a bar mitzvah and have goyim do shus to shus makom mitzvahs for us, or makom tzars for us. That's not a way to go lechatchila. And so too, Paskins the Shaar Tzion, the Mishnah Berurah, the Shaar Tzion, the Afilu, bottom source with which we'll finish the shiur for the night, Afilu ma deshari, even where we allow shus to shus makom hefsid, which is a whole discussion, which we'll talk about at some point. There's no other option. But in this case, whatever his case is, you could arrange it Erev Shabbos, you should do so. If there's nothing else to do, then you could rely on Shus to Shus Malkam Mitzvah. And now keep in mind one thing, Rabbi Osai. The Minchas Yitzchak is assuming his heter Shus to Shus Malkam Mitzvah, because it is, he assumes that electricity is only Mideh Rabbanan. Obviously, those poskim who hold that electricity Bismana says an isidor raisa to harness to use, then it's not a shus to shus. You're telling a guy to do a malachador raisa to harness electricity, and that would not be shus to shus malka mitzvah. There's no heter, it's a shus on an isidor raisa, and the whole minchas yitzchak would fall away. But it happens to be the minchas yitzchak allows it, both air conditioners and opening door locks, because he assumes that it is a malka mitzvah. So just to sum up, what do we have here? We have halacha lemaisa, three, you could have the You could have the guy get a beer. That's mutter. That's not shustah. You're not relying on shustah and shustah malkum. Let's say he's doing it for himself. You could tape the lock. That's not so safe. And maybe the TV will get stolen and it's on your head. You could, if you want to hold like Rebbe Yashiv, machlokas about the following point, you could even hint to him and assume that having the guy open up for you is you're accessing the stuff inside is only is mutter, it's not considered a positive hana. And fourthly, the Minchas Yitzchak says, no, we should permit you to just do whatever you need to do, shus to shus, makom mitzvah, because electricity is only an issur d'rabbanan.
You have been listening to a presentation of Ben's Torah.com.